This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Judith Jacobs. With me are Sharmila Ganesan and Sumitra Selvaraj. And it is International Day of the Girl Child today.
Yay.
And we are celebrating the indomitable spirit of tough and tenacious girls who grow up to inspire others. So since 2012, the 11th of October has been marked as the International Day of the Girl Child. And the day aims to highlight and address the needs and challenges girls face while promoting girls' empowerment and the fulfillment of their human rights. And this year, under the theme Girl Force, Unscripted and Unstoppable, the world will celebrate achievements by, with and for girls since the adoption of the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action.
So if you're wondering what that is, nearly 25 years ago, some 30,000 men and women from nearly 200 countries arrived in Beijing, China for the Fourth World Conference on Women. And they were determined to recognize the rights of women and girls as human rights. So the conference culminated in the adoption of the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action, a visionary agenda for the empowerment of women.
And even today, right, it remains as the most comprehensive global policy framework and blueprint for action. And it is a current source of guidance and inspiration to realize gender equality and the human rights of women and girls everywhere. Mm-hmm. And these movements have expanded. They're being organized by and for adolescent girls and tackling issues like child marriage, education inequality, gender-based violence, climate change, self-esteem, and girls' rights to enter places of worship or public spaces during menstruation. Girls are indeed proving that they are unscripted and unstoppable.
Yes, they are. And I mean, we've been seeing that, you know, impressive teen activism in recent times,
yes,
led by girls. I mean, in a climate where many adults like us, well, like myself, I must say, you know, just feel despair. You know, it's these young people who have risen to the challenge. You know, they're speaking up on behalf of the future generations on issues such as gun laws in the US, female reproductive rights, and even climate change. So I think we all know Greta Thunberg, for example. Her one-person campaign against global warming inspired the school's strike for climate action movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, although she has moved millions into action, many have also mocked her, including world leaders like Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
I think that's a mark in her honor.
That is exactly what she's saying. When asked, you know, why, you know, when they have mocked her, she only said that she feels like their worldview and interests are being threatened by the climate activism of herself and others. And, you know, she says that we should take that as a compliment. You know, we are having so much impact that people want to silence us. We've become too loud for people to handle, so they want to silence us.
Mm. Another girl activist is, of course, Malala Yousafzai,
oh, yeah,
the Pakistani activist for female education, as well as the youngest Nobel Prize laureate to date. So back in 2012, she and two other girls were shot by a Taliban gunman in an assassination attempt as retaliation for her activism.
Right.
This attempt on her life then sparked an international outpouring of support. And following her recovery, she became a prominent activist for the right to education and was the co-recipient of the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize, along with Kailash Satyarthi of India. So now she does her work through the Malala Fund, which invests in education programs to help girls go to school to reach their full potential.
Mm.
Here she is talking to Trevor Noah about why she chose to focus on girls' education.
Well, firstly, because I remember the time when my own education was banned by these extremist groups called the Taliban. And I remember waking up, I think 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago. It was the month of January 2009. And I woke up one morning and girls' education was completely banned and no girl was allowed to go to school. And I realized that my future was taken away from me. My dreams were taken away from me. I was just limited to the house. I could not go and learn. I could not go and study. I could not go and become a doctor or a teacher or an engineer. And for many girls, the only way towards empowerment is learning and is getting their education, doing a job, and then standing on their own two feet. So for me, education is crucial for every girl's empowerment. But also the fact that if half of the population of the world does not get education, if they are not empowered, then the world is losing. We all are losing. So education is crucial for me, especially the education of women, because when we educate women, this allows us to grow economies. Educating all girls up to secondary level would add up to $30 trillion to the world economy. It helps us to tackle climate change. It helps us reduce poverty, fight against early child marriages, the culture norms and traditions that are out there that are discriminating women. It has so many advantages. And I was one of the victims, and I was one of those girls, and I know that it is crucial for all girls to go and learn, and also, you know, the benefits that education brings to the world as well. And refugees' children's education is equally important, especially the young girls who oftentimes in the refugee camps, they are forced to get married. For instance, in Lebanon, like 41% of the Syrian refugee girls get married before the age of 18. So that's why we started Malala Fund, and the work is focused on the education of girls, especially complete education, not just primary, but complete primary and secondary education, safe and quality education, to ensure that and for that, we invest in local leaders and local educators. For instance, like in Lebanon, one of our activists is going out and talking to the girls' parents, right, and the local religious leaders and convincing them to send their daughters to school. Or one of our activists is using this digital device that works in the absence of electricity and internet to educate girls in the refugee camps. In Brazil, we have activists. In Pakistan and Afghanistan, we have activists who are reaching out and doing work at the local level.
It's amazing when you think about Malala, right? To think that, okay, so she gets up one day and education is no longer available in her country for girls. She chooses to speak up about it. And what people do is choose to shoot a young girl for expressing her opinion about a fundamental right of a child.
Yeah.
It just boggles the mind.
To come back after something like that happening to you and getting back out there, putting yourself at the forefront of that struggle.
Not for yourself,
yes, but yes, for everyone else.
Because she's been given all the opportunities now, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that is impressive.
Yeah, equally impressive is, of course, Naomi Wadler, who advocates for victims of gun violence in the United States, especially black female victims. Naomi was born in 2007. She was 11 years old when she gave her impassioned speech in front of thousands at last year's March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C., which, of course, was a student-led demonstration in support of legislation to prevent gun violence in the United States. Here's a clip from her speech.
My name is Naomi, and I'm 11 years old. Me and my friend Carter led a walkout at our elementary school on the 14th. We walked out for 18 minutes, adding a minute to honor Cortland Arrington, an African-American girl who was the victim of gun violence in her school in Alabama after the Parkland shooting. I am here today to represent Cortland Arrington. I am here today to represent Hadia Pendleton. I am here today to represent Tiana Thompson, who at just 16 was shot dead in her home here in Washington, D.C. I am here today to acknowledge and represent the African-American girls whose stories don't make the front page of every national newspaper. Whose stories don't lead on the evening news. I represent the African-American women who are victims of gun violence, who are simply statistics instead of vibrant, beautiful girls at full of potential. It is my privilege to be here today. I am indeed full of privilege. My voice has been heard. I am here to acknowledge their stories, to say they matter, to say their names, because I can, and I was asked to be. For far too long, these names, these black girls and women, have been just numbers. I'm here to say never again for those girls too. I am here to say that everyone should value those girls too. People have said that I am too young to have these thoughts on my own. People have said that I am a tool of some nameless adult. It's not true. My friends and I might still be 11, and we might still be in elementary school, but we know. We know life isn't equal for everyone, and we know what is right and wrong. We also know that we stand in the shadow of the Capitol, and we know that we have 7 short years until we too have the right to vote. So I am here today to honor the words of Toni Morrison. If there is a book that you want to read, but it hasn't been written yet, you must be the one to write it. I urge everyone here and everyone who hears my voice to join me in telling the stories that aren't told. To honor the girls, the women of color who were murdered at disproportionate rates in this nation. I urge each of you to help me write the narrative for this world and understand so that these girls and women are never forgotten. Thank you.
Such eloquence.
11 years old.
You know, at 11, I climbed too high on a climbing frame in my padang and I couldn't get down. And my friends had to go and get my parents and come back and help me get down. I clearly remember sitting at the top of that climbing frame thinking, you fool.
At least you had, you know, the sense to know that you were being foolish.
Unbelievable. And her speech, right, wasn't, okay, you could perhaps give an 11-year-old a speech that was written like that, an 11-year-old with a strong vocabulary, and ask her to deliver that speech. But she wasn't delivering that speech. She was living that speech.
She was. It was impassioned. It came from the heart, you know. And it's, whilst reading about her, you know, what her parents say is she doesn't just make the news, which she's doing now. She is an avid consumer of the news. So she reads everything. I can't remember. I don't remember reading the news when I was 11 years old, except for school assignments when we were forced to, right?
Right.
Amazing young girl. And she is continuing on that, and she's remained very grounded. And even when the adults are criticizing her, she's like, ain't got time for that.
which begs the question, right? So she's 12 now. Have these kids grown up too fast? Have they been forced, you know, because of their role as change makers, have they been forced to take on a role that really, maybe they should be taking on later in life?
And I mean, why did they become change makers, right? Because these issues are happening to children their age.
And that's something that is constantly brought up in the case of someone like Greta Thunberg. Mm-hmm. The fact that the reason someone who should be in school and should be learning and sort of being a child has been forced to take up this mantle because the adults have failed her and those of her generation.
So if you take the age away, and if you take the labels of child, adult away, here is a person who has had a terrible tragedy happen around them, or who has seen a tragedy coming to befall them, mm-hmm. and realizes that somebody that they depend upon isn't going to be there for them.
Yeah. And taking the action to fill that void.
And therefore having to step forward and say, well, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And that is amazing. Mm. I mean, we've spoken about Greta, but there was another young activist that I wanted to highlight, and that's Autumn Peltier. She's a member of the Wikwe Mekong First Nation, and she's also an internationally recognized advocate for clean water. So she began her advocacy on behalf of water at the age of 8.
Wow.
And last year, at the tender age of 13, addressed world leaders at the UN General Assembly on the issue of water protection. So here is that speech.
This work that I'm doing is not for fun. I'm lending my voice to speak up for water and Mother Earth. I'm not just using my voice. I'm doing this work as we can't just pray anymore. We must do something, and we need to do it now. I need to get right into this message so you feel where I'm coming from. I can't stress enough what I have learned about the water from my elders in our ceremonies. Many people don't think water is alive or has a spirit. My people believe this to be true. There are studies now that prove this. We believe our water is sacred because we are born of water and live in water for 9 months. When the water breaks, new life comes. But even deeper than that, we come from our mother's water and her mother's water and so on. All the original water flows through us from the beginning and all around us. Where I come from, I am so fortunate I could still drink the water from the lake. But sometimes I question it. Not far from where I live, there are communities that have lived through boil water advisories. I ask myself, why is it this way, and why in my province? Why in my country? I didn't really understand this because I always hear of the problems in other countries around the world having no water or very polluted water. I really started to think. My mind wondered and thought, what if we ran out of water? I didn't really understand this because I always hear the problems in other countries around the world having no water or very polluted water. What will happen? Then I got scared. This is serious, and it's all over the world. Water is the lifeblood of Mother Earth. Whether it's frozen in the form of rain or clouds in rivers, lakes, and oceans, water is around us and sustains us all. Everything is connected to this issue of clean water, and this impacts our health and well-being. These thoughts bring me to a story shared by my grandfather about the world in our language that says, Ode Nung. We use this word when we say we are going to town or the city, but it really means where your heart is. My heart is in our land, in our water. My heart is where I come from. Ask yourself where your heart is. Where is your spirit? My heart and spirit is where my community is and where my ancestors are buried, where the water is fresh and I can drink from the lake. My grandfather told me to remind everyone where your heart is. As we need our land to live, and we can't be here without the land and the water, we are all connected. My heart is not for sale, and neither is our water and our lands. Our water deserves to be treated as human with human rights. We need to acknowledge our waters with personhood so we can protect our waters. Our water should not be for sale. We all have a right to this water as we need it. Not just rich people, all people.
So that was Autumn Peltier. She's an internationally recognized advocate for clean water. And just last month, she was nominated for an International Children's Peace Prize. I mean, there's just so many amazing girls out there, you know, breaking boundaries and barriers posed by the stereotypes and exclusion, you know, including those directed at children with disabilities and those living in marginalized communities. And they're doing so many things, you know, as entrepreneurs, innovators, initiators of global movements like the ones that we spoke about earlier. And these girls, I think, are just creating a world that is relevant for them and for future generations.
And I don't feel kind of looking at them, I don't feel, oh my goodness, it's terrible, these children are taking matters into their own hands.
No, yeah.
It gives me hope. I want to grow up and be like them.
There's still a chance for us.
Yes, absolutely. If they can do it, then, you know, we can do it too.
I think that's actually the biggest thing about these things, right? Like, we get so bogged down with the day-to-day of, oh, I have this and that and the other. And then you see these young girls out there, and you think to yourself, well, what's my excuse?
Yes,
right.
Definitely.
We don't have to all do what they do, but we can certainly do a bit more, I think.
I think so too.
Definitely. And we're going to keep, we are doing the little bit that we can, talking about International Day of the Girl Child. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep talking about that after this quick break. But do keep the conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. For now, it's Joan Jett and the Blackhearts with Bad Reputation.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.